The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have a great show ahead for you guys today. We have somebody with us who is actually the author of a book that was really my first sort of how to do real estate investing book called Hold. And our guest is Linda McKissick. And she's an entrepreneur, a best-selling author, business coach, trainer, and highly regarded speaker. Her greatest passion is helping the successful but overworked entrepreneur understand the power of leverage and passive income in their lives. Linda is the operating principal for the Ohio Valley region for Keller Williams International and owns multiple Keller Williams franchises. Her career in real estate began in the early 80s with a rocky start, and through her experience, Linda has developed an understanding of business that she shares with other entrepreneurs and business owners around the country. Her results-driven personality continually helps push successful people to the next level in both their lives and careers. After her tough start, Linda looked to mentors and coaches to help her adopt the systems, models, and business plans that propelled her to success in real estate. Her real estate team, McKissick Realty Group, sells over $60 million in volume and closes over 300 properties each year. She has gone on to create five successful businesses, one of which includes ATPL, a consulting and speaking business designed to teach and coach real estate professionals and entrepreneurs around the country. Linda has taken her success and graciously shares it with others through her writing and speaking. In 2013, Linda was co-author of the national bestseller Hold, as I just mentioned, How to Find, Buy, and Rent Homes to Build Wealth. She has been a guest speaker at the Colorado Association of Realtors, Hawaii Association of Realtors, National Association of Realtors, CRS, Keller Williams University, and a regular speaker at Howard Britton's Stars Power Seminars. Recently, she was featured on one of the top 10 business logs, and this is one our listeners should know because John's been on our show, but Entrepreneur on Fire. Her authenticity makes you believe if she can do it, then she can. So, Linda, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. And like I said, Hold was a important part of my first starting out, some of the templates and things that I found that I still even use today, and even working with multifamily properties that were primarily focused on now. But really appreciate you taking the time to be on. We kind of touched on it in your bio here about a tough start, but I thought maybe if you just kind of told us how you got into real estate investing, it'd be great.
Absolutely. Well, actually, you know, I think, you know, all great opportunities sometimes, you know, come out of adversity, or at least looking back, that's the way it seems. And that's exactly how ours did. You know, it's always one of those things. It's the adversity in your life is what creates the foundation for what you do in the future, right? So that's exactly what happened to us in the late 80s in Texas. Everything was going great. The economy was good. My husband was in the restaurant and nightclub business. And I always like to say I was 23 years old and didn't even know what the word economy meant, much less whether it was a good economy or a bad economy. But what felt like almost overnight, our income just went away. The Texas economy at that time was built on real estate, savings and loan, and oil and gas. And I think they kind of just, you know, kind of went away overnight. And so all of a sudden, my husband wasn't sleeping at night. He was pacing the floor. I would soon find out he didn't want to go to bed, because if you go to bed, morning comes quicker. And when morning comes, the bankers call. And so what he would eventually fess up to me would be that we were actually $600,000 in debt. Because in the late 80s, if you had a business and you needed more income, you just go get a line of credit. And then when that line of credit came due, you just renew it. But, you know, what most people don't realize is in your almost all of your notes, if the economy gets shaky or the bankers get nervous about anything, they can actually call your notes due. And so we found ourselves all of a sudden with all of these notes, and businesses, our business began to fall off. And so cash flow went down. And so, you know, again, I'm 23 years old. I don't really know to the extent of what's happening, but I know something's not right. And so once my husband kind of fessed up to me and said, hey, we're in deep trouble here. I need your help. I need you to, you know, go to work and help me make some money to get some of this debt paid back. And, you know, I, for whatever reason, you know, I normally don't always listen to his great wisdom, but for whatever reason, I was insightful enough at that time to look at him and say, well, what do you think I could do? You know, I'm a really hard worker. I've had two jobs probably since I was 14 years old. You know, hard work is not my issue, but I really had never made much more money than minimum wage. And so me being willing to ask him that question, he had had a mentor a long time ago tell him that if you want to make a lot of money, real estate's the way to do it. Now, Jimmy and I laugh today because I'm sure that mentor, which was a peewee football coach of his, was telling somebody to invest in real estate, not put your wife to work selling it. But we needed cash flow and we needed it fast. And so that's how I actually got launched into selling real estate, with no intention at that time to even invest in real estate, because I just wanted to make money and try to help us get out of this mess. And so, but, you know, that kind of incident with your money just disappearing overnight will not be soon forgotten by anyone, right, who's ever experienced that. And so as I began to sell real estate and honestly actually be quite good at it, and we began to build our cash flow, in the back of our minds, the pain of that, you know, that financial turbulence and that financial time, you know, kind of just was always there, because we thought, you know, I don't know if we're just one thing away from this happening again, or how do people not have to worry about these kind of things? I mean, what could we do moving forward that we would never be in that situation again? I always like to say it's never the most marriage enhancing time of your life when you're in financial trouble. Oh, right?
You bet. Yeah.
And so, so in the back of our minds, we both knew we never wanted to be there again. And so as I began to make money, because obviously, you know, you got to have some cash flow, you got to do something, my husband and I began to read books and try to figure out who were the people that didn't get in these kind of situations as much as possible. And so I think you and I talked about this a little bit, but the book that was most impactful to us was the second book by Robert Kiyosaki, not Rich Dad Poor Dad, although that was such a great book. It was Cashflow Quadrant.
Oh, yes.
And in Cashflow Quadrant, he explains how the wealthy get their money from the right side of the quadrant, and, you know, everybody else gets theirs from the E and the S side. And we were 100% in the S side at that point, because he still owned the restaurants and nightclubs, even though they weren't doing very well, and I was starting to sell real estate. And so if I didn't get out there and make a dollar, you know, if I didn't go make it happen, nothing happened. And so we were both very much in the S quadrant when we saw this. And so as we begin to read, one of the most impactful things that probably came out of that book to us was there's actually only three ways to build wealth. There's real estate, stocks, and businesses. And so we're thinking, wow, okay, I'm in the middle of selling real estate. Surely to goodness, I can figure out how to buy some real estate. And so that was really our first kind of desire, was just to get ourselves in a situation that we never had to go through something like that again. And so if the wealthy people, you know, seem to be immune from that, then we just said, okay, number one, define what a wealthy person is. How will we know when we're there? And what are our options to get there? And I always, when I teach people about building wealth, I say, look, I love it that there's only three ways, because if there was a million, I would freeze up and do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Most people would, right? True.
But you can pick one and get started. Now, you know, fast forward to today, we've actually, we always say we stink at stock. Our stock advice is buy whatever we, you know, buy something else. Whatever we buy, don't buy that, you know. But the other two, we decided along the way, real estate being first, that we would master something that we could feel comfortable with and a formula and a plan. And we would pick real estate first because it made the most logical sense. It was the next most natural door for us to walk through, right? And I always say, what's your next natural door? Because that's going to be the easiest. And so stocks, we weren't interested in. We didn't want to learn. And I always say, if you're not interested in learning and you can't control it, you're not really an investor. You're a speculator. And so we saw everybody lose their real estate and everything in Texas in the late 80s because they had speculated on appreciation. And so that's why when you read our book, Hold, you'll not find our strategy being that we bet on appreciation. It's an icing on the cake if you get it.
Right. It's all about cash flow. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was really our, you know, just our, just the pain of that experience. You know, once we started getting our cash flow back up, we said, okay, we got to do something to never be in this case again. And we're just going to believe this guy named Robert Kiyosaki. He knows what he's talking about. And so that's when we sought out to find our first real estate investment. And to be honest with you, we were still climbing our way out of $600,000 in debt. And we didn't really have, you know, we really couldn't go out and get a loan to do this. So when I found the first, well, the first thing we did is we decided how much we wanted to make from real estate. So we said our original plan was $250,000. And that would, we backed that up and found out we'd need 20 properties free and clear in 20 years. And we picked 20 years because Jim was 40 when we started. And we said, let's have that by the time we're 60. So I always say to people, you know, your plan depends on when you start and what do you want the end to look like. And so for us, we wanted about $240,000 or so to come in passively in by 20 years. We figure all of our, you know, peak earning years were still ahead of us, but what we wanted was passive money coming in someday so we had freedom and options. And so that's how, so I found the first deal. You know, to me, when you make a goal and then you go after it. You don't make a goal just to make a goal. So I immediately, and I also believe kind of, you know, depending on everybody's beliefs, I believe the good Lord or somebody kind of allows you to open that door and make it happen once you you set a goal to make it happen. And so my goal was to go start getting those 20 properties and found the first one, came home so excited about it. And Jim very quickly proceeded to tell me, we're broke. We don't have any credit. What in the world are you thinking we're going to, how are we going to do this? Right. And, you know, I just kind of thought about it all night long. And I said, you know what, I think I'm going to go to my friend Lou Kraft, which was a builder in my area. And I had known for quite a few years and a man of integrity and faith and things that I felt good in being a partner with. And I went to him and asked him, would he do them with us? And so he did the first three properties with us. And then after that, we were on our own. So, you know, I think that where there's a will, there's a way. And once you make a plan, you know, the rest will, you know, sometimes people get stuck on the how. Instead, you know, you just make the plan and decide, you know, is this important to you and what do you want to do? And then the rest will kind of, you'll get it along the way. Right.
All right. Well, you bought that first house. I mean, how was it, you know, the buying and selling at that time? I mean, you were obviously selling houses and generating enough income doing that. But in that market, it was also very difficult for some people just to be able to buy something or to sell something. I mean, now, I read that you had got that from the Resolution Trust Corporation. Is that correct?
Well, that was actually our second one. The first one was actually we flipped, which is not our model now. But at the time, this was a gentleman called me out and said, "Hey, I want somebody just to buy my house quick for cash. I've got some foundation issues and some other issues," and they had already moved out of the house. And so the very first one I found was actually a flip property, and so I went to the builder and he fixed it up, and I put my commissions in, and we flipped that one. The second one, which is the 902 West Hickory, which is the one we did buy from the RE, from the Resolution Trust Corporation, it was for $15,000. And we still have that property today. And funny story about that property is Jimmy got his notice on the Social Security, and I want to say they would give him about $1,300 or $1,400 a month if he would have taken his Social Security by a certain age. I don't really understand all that because hadn't really thought about all that yet, but we kind of made another plan instead of that plan just in case that one didn't make out. But anyway, this one property now, Hickory, that's free and clear, brings us in between $2,100 and $2,200 a month. So cool story, 40 years of Jimmy working, he was going to get $1,400, and one investment we made many years ago when all odds were against us to even do it, makes us $2,100, $2,200 a month. So pretty cool when you look at it in that kind of comparison.
Wow, that's exciting. That's really exciting. Well, when you started off, you were also paying down your debts. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So did you say, well, we're going to pay off everything first before we get involved? Or this one you actually, or the very first one, the one that you flipped, you had actually purchased while you were in that process, right?
Well, actually, yeah, we started our real estate investing while we were still in the middle of paying off notes. The one good thing about that economic crash compared to now, this last one, we were in a different situation, so I don't really know what people got to do. But back in the late 80s and early 90s, you could, the bankers would come to you and say, "Hey, look, we need to get this note off our books. We'll discount it." And so we would scrounge up every bit of cash. We lived way below our means. We laugh at the car we wound up having to drive and, do all that. But you do whatever you got to do, right? So, and we didn't have credit cards, and we didn't own any real estate then. So really what we were is just absolutely cash poor. Our cash flow had gone down to almost nothing, and we had all these notes that they were calling due. So the great opportunity and the way we were not able to have to file bankruptcy in that crash was we were just able to when they got to an opportunity to cash out on the note, they would actually discount it for you. So we did discount them and get them all eventually paid back. But we started doing this investing even while we were in the middle of that. And so that's exactly why I had to go get a partner, is because all I had to work with was the commission that I had. If there was commission on them, was the commission. And then he had to do, pretty much the rest. And he was willing to do that because I had the knowledge and I was bringing him the deals and he came out good too. So eventually we only had two properties since we flipped the first one, and we took the cash from the first one, which was exactly $15,000. And I just said, "Hey, Lou, instead of spending this $15,000 between us, could we?" I just got a note. Someone at my office just told me today there's an REO property. There's a RTC property that just came on the market that's over by the college. It's $15,000. We're gonna have to put some money into it, but maybe you could fix it up and we could be partners on this one. So that all we did is talk him into rolling that money into a second one. And then we rolled it into a third one, which was over by the other college in our town. And then eventually when we split our partnership, I just let him pick. I said, "You pick whichever one you love the most, because we wouldn't be here without you doing what you did." So he picked one, and then that left us with the 902 West Hickory, which is the one that we say pays off better than 40 years of working with Social Security.
So at a certain point, you just realized that real estate investing really was what you needed and what you wanted, and you're just going to go full bore in that direction, right?
Yeah, and again, our original goal was only to make about $240,000 a year, because we just said, how much do we want coming in passively someday? And so, I always say sometimes the number is the hardest thing for people to come up with, but you need the number to get started.
Right.
It was the number that drove us. Now the goals have caused, since we've blown by that. And now we don't even have a number that we're out to get. It's just now that we know how to do investing. You get up and be the best you can be, and you have the best business you can have. We just wake up every day and try to have the best investing business we could possibly have. And then whatever that winds up being, it winds up being. But in the beginning, it was strictly because we never wanted to have to worry if the economy crashed again. We wanted some kind of money coming in passively.
You are focused 100% on real estate investing at this point. I mean, I know you own some franchises, but you're not doing Sunday open houses and things like that.
I was very blessed early in my career, about 12 years into my career, when I kind of hit a ceiling and thought, man, is this it? I mean, is it just going to be blue carpet one day and brown the next? And I was so blessed to be able to be introduced to Gary Keller, who is just from, you know, of course, all his books that he's written. You know, he's I just feel blessed because he's just so brilliant. And he was coaching personally agents how to take their business and turn it into a true business. And that means it runs without you. And so I had never met anybody that had done that in the real estate business. I didn't believe it could be done in the real estate business. But I remembered from all my reading on Kiyosaki that the other thing that makes people wealthy is if they own businesses, which are people making you money. And so because I had had business coaches that told me I would need more than one stream of income, I had read books that told me, you know, owning businesses was a good, you know, thing to give you freedom and options. And then because I trusted and believed in Gary Keller when he coached me to do it, I was really willing to do it. So that team's been being run by my brother-in-law for about 20 years now, actually, 19, 20 years. And that allowed us to go out and open more businesses, because so now we do real estate investing still today. And then we have real estate businesses also. So we do both. Primarily right now, because how hot our market is, our investing has slowed way down, although we have bought some deals this year. You asked, I think, in one of your questions to me, is what's the biggest obstacle in your real estate investing? And honestly, it's a really good sales market, you know?
Mm.
Because prices are higher than they've ever been. And it gets really hard for us because our strategy, of course, hence the book Hold, is to hold the property long term. But when you could double your money on them, you're sitting here going, oh, should I be getting rid of them? Should I hold them? You know? And so so it gets hard to find them. That's, you know, that's probably our biggest struggle right now, is just finding them. We have branched off a little bit into, vacation rentals, which we fell in love with a few years ago. And so we've been doing more of those, just because we can still find decent deals on them, and we can build them, and we can do things like that. But really, our residential buying in Texas has been probably as slow this year as it's been in all of our years of investing.
You're also in commercial and multifamily as well, right?
We've had a little bit of multifamily. We did flip the one apartment complex that we that we bought before, just because we had a partner and he really wanted to flip them rather than hold them. But primarily we are single family. I think it's because it's where we felt the safest and we felt like we had the most knowledge. And I think when we started out, I thought, well, I could move in it if it doesn't rent. Now it's a little hard to move into, you know, like 100 of them. But you know, now I don't need that confidence, right? I needed that courage and confidence back then. I don't need it now. But and we have six commercial buildings, but all of our commercial buildings have one of our businesses in them. We don't have any commercial buildings that don't have us as a business in them.
Mm.
So most of ours are single family.
Okay.
And 16 vacation rental cabins. And then we have one ranch here in Texas that is our personal ranch that we do out on VRBO.
Oh, fun.
And Airbnb. They are fun. They are really fun. The reviews are really fun to read.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, do you know how many single family you have at this time?
We're right around 100, give or take, there, because we have some partners in a few. And so we don't keep those all necessarily on our board if that partner oversees them. So I'm going to say right around 100 still.
Sure. What would you say was your biggest mistake in your investing and real estate business dealings?
You know, it's interesting because, we've never lost money on anything if we held it. If we flipped and we sold it too soon, we've lost money on one that I can think of. And that was one of those that we think, God, we should have kept that thing. You know, it would have been fine if we'd held on to it, but we sold too quickly. You know, I would say, I would have to say, maybe not going, you know, we kind of did this as my husband and I together, and he mostly primarily worked on the, you know, residential side. He oversees the all the remodels and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I guess I would say maybe not leveraging out through some great people and making it a full-fledged business that had a lead generation arm, you know, maybe early on, treating it like a real, like we do all of our other businesses. We kind of just dabbled in that mm-hmm. and wound up where we are. But if we had maybe set it up originally as a business where we had, a, you know, someone that went out and helped us locate deals, and maybe we had a lead generation arm that put our name out there as, you know, our name's out there from the real estate world. So that does help a little bit right now in finding deals. Like a lot of our deals are coming through my brother-in-law who runs my team. When somebody calls and says, look, we don't want to go through putting it on the market. We need somebody to buy cash and close quickly. But, you know, I think if we had treated it like a business, maybe early on that, I can't think of many mistakes because we didn't take a lot of risk. We're not, you know, if you read our strategies in our whole book, they're not massive risks. We don't, you know, they're good deals when we buy them. And so we really haven't, you know, we haven't made a lot of mistakes other than I think just having the confidence to maybe let it be a bit as big a business as it could be, not just as big as, you know, he and I could be.
Sure. Well, conversely, what would you say was your biggest success?
Wow. You know, I think they're all successes in their own right. I think timing, which wasn't our brilliance, you know, when the crash, I think, you know, I think the best thing we did is during that downturn of 2008, 2009, and 2010, and that we bought a lot of properties. And, you know, that was probably our greatest success because we bought more property in those time frames by going to the foreclosure sale and, you know, just buying everything we could. I think that's going to end up being our greatest success because those are the ones that have the greatest value right now and have gone up so much in value.
Well, you know, our listeners are primarily folks that are 50 plus. Some of them are working and they're kind of approaching their retirement. They're concerned about, do we have enough? Do we have enough mm-hmm. tucked away? Mm-hmm. You know, are we going to be able to do the things that we talked about always doing in retirement? And then you've got those that are already in retirement that are dealing with the realities of retirement and some of it, you know, cost of living and things like that going up, they're looking for other ways to generate funds. And it's, which is one of the reasons why people listen is because they're trying to figure out how can I, starting later in life, you know, actually get into real estate investing and how will it work through my retirement years, and kind of propose that to you is what advice would you have as a, you know, now granted you started very young, you guys had a long, long game plan and you've executed it very well, but you know, these are people that are starting later, don't really have the same timeline. So what advice would you have for those folks?
Well, I have to tell you, Bill, this is something that keeps me awake at night if it doesn't keep anybody else up. I truly believe that we are all going to live longer than we think we are. I think I work with a genetics doctor, and I'm just telling you the cutting edge stuff that they're on top of for us to have longevity in our life. The part that scares me to death is that I don't think we're as educated and prepared financially. I think in our whole book, we might even put the statistics of following the 100 people for the 40 years. You know, that is a scary statistic of the people that will, I think it's like 54 will be broke and dependent on their family or their government. And when I teach people and I speak to people, I say, look, we're going to need to be those family and friends. Not only are we going to have to come up with enough money for our own living, but I believe we're going to have to step in for some people who didn't quite get there financially. So I think this is a big problem. I think this is way bigger than any of us realize. I think our life expectancies are going to be longer. So I would say, first of all, and you know, I think something happens when you turn 50, you start kind of thinking, okay, how much longer do I have and how much could I have and how old are they? And,
you know, right.
You know, you do have those thoughts. And so I think the worst thing we can do after the age of 50 is start to think you have less time than you do. Because I think, number one, you've got plenty of time. You can change any financial situation in 5 years or less. We overestimate what we can do in 24 hours, and we underestimate what we can do in a year or 2 years or 5 years. So I would say, first of all, let's just don't even assume that you have less time. Let's just go and say we're going to live a long time, because I really think they're going to get better and better at that, and we are. the sad thing is going to be if we live longer and our quality of life is horrible because we don't have the finances or the means to do it. So first of all, I would say let's just take it out of our minds that we don't have that long. You have plenty. If you're in your 50s, even in your 60s, you know, you could have still a good another 20 plus or more, and I'm going to say even more years to get this done. So, so I would say let's start with that premise and then let's just get busy and say, what's the next logical step for me to do? You know, when would I like to have some financial freedom come in my way? Because that's what gets us started. And then what means do I have to work with? Do I have money? Do I not have money? You know, if I don't have money, could I find a partner who does have the money but doesn't have the expertise or whatever? And, you know, just, you know, figure out what your situation is, you know, the reality of where you are. And then where do you want to be? You know, what's that number? And then work it backwards, because I think when we work it backward, if you think about the whole, it gets overwhelming. But if you think about what's my next logical step, you know, what's my goal? And then what's my, what tomorrow when I get up, what do I need to do? I think we can, you know, that's palatable. Whereas if we just think about this big old number, it kind of can get overwhelming. But I think we need to take out of our mind that we don't have enough time, because you got plenty of time. But what you might not have is a plan, and a big enough, you know, desire, you know, so I always say, you know, think about what's important to you. I've got friends that are getting to pay, you know, $10,000, $12,000, $20,000 a month to keep their parents in some kind of living facility that will keep their quality of life up. Because if they put them in the facility that they could afford, they would deteriorate in 90 days. You know, so, I mean, to me, those kind of things are what get me up in the morning and keep me going. And so, you know, figure out what's important to you. Do you have, you know, elderly parents still that you might have to help? Do you have kids that you still might have to, you know, at some point help in your life? Let that be the emotional driver. And then, you know, we can change anything in good 5 years of good focus. So let's don't worry about how long we have. Let's just assume we got plenty of time, because you probably do.
Now, what niche or what area of real estate do you think would work well for folks, you know, just starting out later in life?
Well, you know, I can only speak to what I know. I would never, ever try to speak to anything I don't know. And honestly, the things we know the best are single family. And then I always like them because I think they have – I like them because you can buy them wholesale and sell them retail when you do need to sell. I like that part, that aspect of it. And that could cause you to, you know, where you could feel like you're behind, you could all of a sudden find yourself way ahead because the market takes you there, right? Now, we don't buy on those premises, but we know those things happen, right? So I can only speak to single family, but I'm going to tell you, you know, what works best for you? What works for your plan? Where are you trying to get to? Where you know, what are you trying to have in the very end? And so if it's apartments, then read some great books or find some great mentors that do apartments, you know. If it's commercial buildings, you know, although I'm a little, you know, I personally would be a little leery of commercial because I worry about that area a little bit more because people are more mobile. They don't necessarily have to have an office anymore.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. Yeah.
I'm not necessarily going out looking for those. But single family, I feel like we know people always need houses. And so that's the only one I can speak to because that's the one I know the best. And I think pretty much anybody can learn and understand. They've either, at least owned probably one of their own single family homes before.
Sure. And you mentioned buying them wholesale. Where do you find your, you know, your house is under market? I mean, do you go to the MLS? Do you go to auctions?
Everywhere.
Oh, really?
Everywhere. And you know, what you'll find is like right now, the foreclosure auctions are just down to nothing. They're not even worth our, we're not even going. They're not even worth our time.
Really?
But you've got still coming, you know, I tell every realtor I know that I'm looking, and I say, even though I have a license, I don't want the commission. I don't care about the commission. What I want is the deal. So if I tell that many people that are out with people, and you know, in every market, there's houses to buy. There's always distress. There's always divorce. There's always death. There's always drugs. Unfortunately, that's just the way our world is, right? So in those situations, people need people that can close quickly and close with cash. You know, they're always needing that.
Right.
They're just not as many.
Do you ever work with wholesalers?
You know, we have been approached several times. We have not done it. We've actually just declined recently to do it again, just because, you know, it's one of those things, if we're not willing to get in there and really understand it and learn it, I feel like we're speculating. And I don't, you know, we got enough stuff on our plate that just hadn't been something that we've delved into, even though we've been approached a couple of times about the opportunity. But, you know, I have friends that do, and I have a business partner that has before. But that's not been our area. But what I mean wholesale is I'm not going to pay a retail price for it. I'm going to find some type of situation that causes us to buy it below market. That's what I mean by the wholesale prices.
Do you go direct to seller then?
You know, we will. Most of ours now are coming to us from people because they know we invest. You know, in the old days, certainly I would call on people or, you know, see an abandoned house that looked like it, nobody's taking care of it. I'd track the people down, you know, until I find out what the story is. But what I find is over time, as you let people know that you're investing, deals will start coming to you. You know, if enough people know, then they're going to bring you deals. Right now, this year in Texas, our market is so hot. Most of our deals have come from the realtors. You know, realtors having a deal and somebody that can close quickly and doesn't mind how bad the house is. And none of those things bother us. You know, you have to be okay with the house needs a lot of work, or, you know, the house you know, it's trash and they left everything there and you got to clean it out. I mean, so there's all those things that come along with it. But so this year, I'd say most of our deals other than our vacation rentals have come from the, you know, I don't know that they're all on the MLS yet, but they're from realtor connections.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned the vacation rentals. That's an area that has just taken off like crazy. I know a number of investors that are actually not even buying houses. They're renting somebody's house and then they put it on the market as an Airbnb house. If it's, you know, again, if it's legal in that area forth. But, and they're still making these huge profits and without even having to buy real estate. Now, I don't think that that's a good long-term strategy because, you know, it's really the assets that you have in the end that really are
sure,
you know, really worth something. But, you know, as a way to generate cash, I get it because there is a strong demand and more people are going into vacation rentals or Airbnb over hotels, which is really interesting.
It is interesting. And I'm still, you know, I'm still kind of dumbfounded, to be honest with you, because I still like to go stay at a nice, you know, Hilton or Ritz or Four Seasons or something.
Oh, yeah. Room service, you know.
But what I've noticed is it's like we have a ranch just outside of where we are here, less than 30 minutes, and we were traveling a lot being gone. And I thought, you know, we needed to train one of our girls to do our vacation rentals up in Branson from Texas. So we said, hey, I think I'm just going to try the ranch. I'm going to try the ranch and see what happens. I don't know. Maybe nobody's going to rent it. We can't get in it. It just blows my mind. And they love it. They really, really, they write the best reviews. And I'm just thinking, who are these people? You know, I'm always interested in the story, you know, like, why are they renting it? And sometimes it's just as simple as, you know, all their family lives around the Metroplex, but they don't have one place big enough for all of them to get together and have dinner and have somebody's birthday or you know, and I think about it now, I think, you know, especially now, like if I want to go somewhere and I want to eat in a special way, I need it to have a kitchen, you know, and if you've got a hotel, you got to eat out every time. And so I'm starting to kind of put all the pieces together, but I'm amazed and shocked. I can understand a place like Branson, Missouri. People are going there on vacation, but, you know, just a place, a little ranch house outside Denton, Texas, that one is a shocker to me, but believe me, that is where it's headed. So I think it's going to be a bigger and bigger opportunity.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah. Now, do you have horses on your ranch?
We do. They're not our horses. We actually have a second home on the ranch, and that gentleman that rents it oversees all the horses, and we give him a piece of that money to oversee the horses because we don't even have any horses. But they were all already there when we bought their ranch, and so his horse is there. So we say, look, you take care of the horses. We'll split the money with you, but you're in charge of the horses.
Right. Now the guests get to use the horses.
No, they don't get to use the horses. But they have the most beautiful sunset in Denton County. They do get that.
That's great.
In a peaceful place. It's a beautiful place.
Well, Linda, you sound like you are nowhere even near retirement. I mean, you've definitely got an amazing growing business here. What are you looking forward to? What's the one thing that's really exciting you about your business and where it's going, and or particular things you might be doing?
Well, probably the most excited thing we are, because one of the things we've learned so well from, you know, being around Gary Keller and Keller Williams models and systems is to learn how to succeed through people so that you take them with you and they get an opportunity also. And, you know, letting your businesses be as big as they can be, not just as big as, you know, Linda and Jim can be, right? And so we just hired someone that really has lived her whole life in such a way to really take this investment opportunity and take it to the next level. And in doing that, she's going to get to meet and achieve a lot of her goals in her life that she has. And so that's real exciting because, I don't think anybody should necessarily want to retire unless you just don't love what you do. But if you love what you do, you know, you should just do less and less of the things you don't like and more of the things you do. And so that usually means other people have to step in and take over those pieces. And it just gives us great joy to watch someone else succeed through something that we pioneered and we got started. And so we're real excited. She's just come on board and we've, you know, put a structure together that we'll go do some deals with her. And, you know, we're wanting to spend a little more time in San Diego in our new beach house and places like that. And we've got lots of work to do with our Keller Williams stuff. So really no one was really kind of taking this and growing it, you know, that, you know, we're just kind of onesies and twosing it. So we're really excited about that opportunity and what it's going to do for her and her family and for us along the way also. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's neat. Well, investing in another person's life and especially, you know, somebody that's going to grow and benefit from it is one of the greatest ways of giving back. I think that's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we have run a little bit longer than I initially told you we would run, our interview would be. So I apologize for that, but it's been great. Just some great information and really been valuable for us. We now have what we call our wrap-up session. And in that, I just ask you a series of quick questions on favorite books and things like that. And you answer back, you know, also in that same time frame. Are you ready to wrap it up?
I'm ready.
All right. First question. Favorite real estate book?
I'd have to say The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. Honestly, you know, I thought about this question when I saw it. I've never read a real estate investing book. So I'm like, what book would I ever put since I've never really read one? I mean, we wrote one, Hold, but I have read and contributed to pieces of The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, and I hear people love it. And so I'm always going to tout something that I feel like is non, you know, super risky, or, you know, I'm not the big, you know, speculator. I really truly want to be safe on our investments. So I'm going to have to say The Millionaire Real Estate Investor because it's the only outside book of real estate investing I've ever even actually looked at.
It's a great book. Well, that book, along with your book, are in our top 20 real estate investing books of all time. So on our website. So that's good choice. Good choice. How about your favorite business book?
Wow. I have so many of those, but I'm going to have to say, can I say two? Because there's two great ones.
Yeah, sure.
Dan Sullivan is one of my favorite mentors and coaches, and he has a great book called The Four C's. If you haven't read it, you got to read it. It's about getting the courage and making big commitments so your life gets big. And then The One Thing with Gary Keller, because I really believe as entrepreneurs, sometimes we want to chase all the rabbits and all the squirrels. And if we can just get up every day and say, what's the one thing I could do today such that everything else wouldn't seem as important or matter, and just make sure we're getting that one thing done, because there's a million things you can do, but only a few matter. So those two would probably be my favorite, and they're from my two favorite mentors, I would say.
Oh, that's great. Great, good choices. How about most valuable website for success?
You know, I thought about this one a lot too. I go on a lot of websites, but I don't really have a website. I assumed you mean real estate investing one, and I don't go on any, so I don't really have a real estate investing one. And I go on lots of people's website if I think, you know, they've got valuable information. But I don't really have a website. I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's okay. No problem. A lot of times people don't have that. Like this next category, a lot of people see. Well, what about favorite app?
You know, I like apps that really do a good job of keeping me accountable. So I would say my Fitness Pal is probably my favorite app. because it's, you know, if you know, 80% of whether you're going to do anything you need to do in life, where you put some accountability behind it. And that's been a good accountability one for me. So I've got lots of apps, and I do seek out apps, but you know, I love MyFitnessPal because I will actually use it.
Good one. How about favorite quote?
I don't know who said this, but I love the fact that if you don't design your life, somebody or something else will.
Great quote. Okay, and our final question, if everything that you'd worked so hard to grow and develop just absolutely was worth absolutely nothing and you only had $1,000 in cash, how would you use that $1,000 to relaunch your businesses?
Well, because this worked for me the first time, you know, I've never been a nothing down person and all that stuff. So, you don't even know how to do those strategies. You'd have to get that from somebody else. But I would go find a partner, which is exactly what we did in the very beginning. We went and found somebody that we could enrich their life with the opportunity, and they could bring to the table the things that we didn't have.
That's great. And you know, that really ties in with what you said earlier as well, that, you know, real estate it's all about relationships. And, you know, and as you start to let people know you're investing, for example, you get these great deals. And in the same way, I've had some folks that have answered in almost the exact same way. The basic said, I really don't need the $1,000. All I need to do is sit down with somebody that, you know, I know and trust and that I can partner with you know, would want to get behind me or whatever. So, yeah, that's great. Great answer. What about folks that might want to find out a little bit more about you, what you're doing in activities and so forth? How can they find out that information?
We do have a website. It's lyndamckissick.com.
Great.
And anything we do or that we, you know, we find worthwhile or of value, we will put out that direction. And so that'd probably be the best way, just lyndamckissick.com.
Great. Well, we have come to almost the end of the line here. Now, we have one tradition here, and I don't know if you've ever...
I forgot to practice that.
Yeah, you know, it just comes upon you just when you least suspect it, you know? But, you know, I mean, you're from Texas. I mean, this is like the land of, you know, hound dogs and all kinds of, you know, and coyotes. I mean, they got everything out there. And so...
Well, I'm sure it's going to sound like a mix of all of those.
So, Linda, you can go ahead and close us out with your just favorite hound dog howl or whatever dog it might be, just to close out the day. Are you ready?
I'm ready as I'm going to be.
Okay, go for it.
No idea what a hound dog sounds like. I should have Googled it, huh?
Hey, I thought that was great. Even had a laugh on the end of it. Could have been like a hyena thing, you know?
That's probably what it was.
Well, thank you so much, Linda. It's really been great having you on. What a wealth of information for our listeners, and hopefully people will, you know, pick up The Hold, at the very least. And I think is a great book for foundation and to do what you did. I mean, you share all that information in there, so I think it's an invaluable resource, and the information you provided is going to be valuable as well. So, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. And for those of you out there that are listening, we want to thank you for taking the time to listen. And we know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Please note everything that Linda's mentioned in the interview will be outlined in our show notes at the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. In that section, you'll find the show notes. So look it up under Linda McKissick. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.